it's actually in a setting of a college class. When he gets to 9, or 10, I'm sorry, when he gets to 10, 10 times 10, he puts 99. And then out of nowhere, it was silent until then. Everyone burst out in laughter. Everyone burst out in just being loud and obnoxious, saying, ha-ha, look at the college teacher, got the answer wrong, or the, you know, the equation wrong. But he turned around, and he calmly said, I just wanted to show you what our human nature is about. That's who we truly are. We always tend to pick and poke and look and focus on the negative, the one thing that we did wrong. Human nature, that's who we are. He goes, when I did the previous 9 equations, no one said, woo, yeah, wow. They weren't congratulating me. No one got up, gave me an applause. No one got up and gave me a standing ovation. But you notice in unison, everyone here started laughing, acting obnoxious, and pointing out the fact of my position, how I could get that equation wrong. Can I tell y'all something? That's being a child. Our human nature is immature. And you don't have to teach a child these things the same way you don't have to teach us these things. My goal here tonight is to kind of help us understand that when things happen to us, it's not always in a negative light. Romans 5, verse 3 and 4 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. See, many of us, we view tribulation, we view suffering, we view pain. Instead of it viewing it as a good thing, we view it as a bad thing. When we view tribulations and we view hardships, what's a tribulation? So that way we can know what we're talking about here. Quickly, who can tell me what's a tribulation? What's a hard time? Really? Ready? Go. Sickness? Homelessness? Okay, if you're without a home, yeah, that's tough. How about when you're sick? That's tough. You have a deadly illness? That's tough. Finances? When the finances are not right? Death, a loss, a death of a loved one? That's a tribulation. You're going through grief, right? Financial loss, no stability, no safety net. Almost anxiety, almost. It creates this anxiety in us, right? Anyone else? Work? It could be painful. It could be a tribulation. Amen. No, especially because you're dealing with people. It could become a toxic environment, right? Family? Family could be a trying time, testing. So we understand what we're talking about. But instead of looking at those events or people or circumstances or situations, instead of looking at them as something to glory in, you know why we can't glory in it? Because we're looking at how it affects us and how it makes us feel. Instead of looking at it as, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? How can I please you through this moment? I'm not thinking of, oh, yeah, hate me. Yeah, no one is. I'm just trying to explain to you that's human nature and it's okay. My goal here is to help liberate our mindset about tribulation. Not me, but God. You know, showing you scripture and letting you know what the scripture says. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. We can rejoice. We can be happy at those tough times when maybe finances are not what they should be, or maybe we're not feeling well, or we're going to die, maybe a terminal illness, I don't know. Maybe family members, or maybe a workplace situation, maybe the loss of a loved one, right? We can still find goodness. We can still rejoice in these things. God, I know this coworker is after me trying to get my job, but Lord, thank you that I've grown in my relationship with you because that coworker has pushed me to pray more. It's how you view it. And it's not, oh, I'm super happy and positive. No. It's what it's about. It's a spiritual thing. Amen? Knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. I promise you, when you're in the wilderness, Moses, you're not patient. You're trying to get to the promised land. You have a million plus or a million and a half people based off of historic estimates and historians making that estimate, you have about 1.5 million, almost to 2 million people who have come out of slavery, only known this type of life for over 400 years, and now they've seen these miracles, and you promised them a promised land. Well, not you, but you say that God, the I Am, has promised them that. I promise you, patience wasn't the number one thing he was thinking about. Amen. Tribulation works patience. It teaches us that discomfort, we could be comfortable in discomfort. And patience, what? Experience. Man, you're going to gain knowledge. I'm over here thinking, Brother Nickerson, because of my situation growing up of not having a father, that I was going to be really a messed up individual. And I probably am. As an adult, I'm not. Based off of statistics. But I'm thankful to God that through that experience, I got to meet my Father, my Heavenly Father, the one who created me for a purpose. And even though my earthly or biological father was not a part of my life, man, it gave me experiences that I had to learn how to walk. I had to learn how to run. While people still struggle with little petty stuff that don't know how to live without. And I'm thankful to God for that, because the family that I have, I want them to succeed. I do. But these valuable experiences that I've learned, lessons through these experiences, guess what? Will help me guide my children, hopefully our home, hopefully the church, in the right direction. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. If I would have looked at it, and I did at a time for 7 years, remember, I got bitter with God. If I would have looked at them and viewed them in a negative lens, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have the family I have. I wouldn't marry the person, my best friend who I married. I wouldn't have the children I have. I wouldn't have the experiences in the secular world that I've had. I think that's God. Don't you? He made us for a purpose. What I'm trying to tell you, these tribulations and these tough times, we're looking at it as it's to us. We're taking it personal. Instead of realizing it's for us. Moses, David, Joseph, Paul, Peter. He's molding you into who you need to become in order for you to serve his purpose for your life. And experience what? Hope. I want to help us today. Again, the title of the message is God is not breaking you. He's building you. When you're going through these tough times, he's not trying to destroy you. That's not who God is. Amen? Here's my first point I'd like to share with you. God uses discomfort to develop us. You know, most people pray for comfort. I know I do. Amen? Maybe y'all don't, but I like comfort. Amen? But instead of comfort, God tends to take us in a season of a construction phase in our life. Really, God? I don't want to go through construction in my life right now. I want comfort. We ask God to remove the pressure many times, right? But many times, pressure is the very thing that God uses in our lives to make us into the person that he intends us to become, that vessel for his use, for the master's use. Joseph, even though he wasn't free, I'm pretty sure he wanted freedom when he was in prison. David, even though he wasn't a king and he was promised, right? He was anointed to be the next king. I promise you, he wasn't feeling like a king when he was hiding away in the caves. Moses, a great leader that God used, maybe he wanted the confidence to talk in front of Pharaoh, and maybe he didn't feel that, but God said, no, Moses, I'm going to build your confidence in the wilderness. Sometimes what I'm trying to tell us is that in this room tonight, people might not understand God will not rescue you from your process. The process is what we need. He's using the process to mold you into what he needs you to become. By the way, what your family needs you to become. By the way, what the people that are in your ministry need you to become. Amen? What this community of White House needs us to become. Instead of us looking and wondering, God, Why am I going through this difficult time right now? What we should be saying is, God, thank you for not changing the circumstance, because I know if I just stay faithful and remain faithful, I'm going to be better when this season ends. See, just like Joseph, his prison ended, right? His time in the prison ended. Just like Moses, his time in the wilderness, what, ended. Just like David, his season in the caves ended. And what we don't realize is at the end of these tough times, at the end of these tribulations, what happens? The promise. Now you're built for that promise. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. I want you to understand Joseph's prison was not punishment. It was preparation. The pit helped him develop humility. Potiphar's house helped him develop integrity. He did not sleep with his Potiphar's wife. But you know what? Even though he was falsely accused, he stayed doing right. I love that. Prison helped him develop patience. And the palace, all it did is reveal what God had been building that whole time. The Bible says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto what? Good. To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. We don't understand why we go through what we go through. But understand, if it's part of God's purpose, you better learn your lesson. While you're going through this journey, pick up the lessons and the teachings that he's trying to instill in you. He's developing you into who you need to become. Amen? Because what God has waiting for you, you and I could not afford, or you and I could not do it without going through this process. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for what? Good. To them that love God. To them who are the called according to his what? His purpose. God has a purpose for your life. Anything and everything that is involved in your life, or in your family's life, or in anything that has to do in your life, any matter, any aspect, understand. If it's not for your good, it's for his good. But it says, and we know that all things work together for good. Why? Because he has a purpose. He has a purpose. God has a purpose. And part of that purpose is for you to go through the pain. And part of that purpose is for you to embrace that pain. And part of the purpose is for you to learn. Not to enjoy the pain, but to appreciate it for what it's teaching you and what it's taught you. Psalm chapter 105, the Bible says, and he sent a man, Psalm chapter 105, verses 17 through 19, and he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a what? A servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord, what? Tried him, tested him. Listen, you and I need to get to the place in our lives when anything bad happens to us, or we think it's bad, it's tribulation. And it doesn't mean that it's abandonment, right? He hasn't left us alone. What you and I need to understand when these things happen, discomfort and pain, sometimes these hard seasons in our lives, that's the holiest classroom you can learn, you can go into and learn. That's what that is. God is setting you apart. It's a holy time in your life. It's a holy time in my life. God will never place you into something to destroy you. It's not that. Remember, it might be, maybe I said that wrong, but it's natural for us to act immature. It's natural for us to be childish. It really is. And we don't understand to what degree of that immature child we might be. God needs to burn that out of us, or work that out of us, but I will tell you this. As a believer, you must learn that God is working when you cannot see. Second point, God uses weakness to teach dependence. Many times, look at it this way. The Bible is the mirror, right? But many times, humanly speaking, when we wake up in the morning, we don't like what we see sometimes, I guess. I'm okay with it, amen? But many people don't like what they see. Can I tell you, that's how the Bible is spiritually speaking. It shows and exposes our weaknesses, but it's not so we can look at our weaknesses and then be discouraged. It's so we can look at the weaknesses and realize, God, I just can't do this without you. It's to help us understand that we need to depend on who? Who? God, not the job. We need to depend on who? God, not the money. We need to depend on who? God, not our skill set. We need to depend on who? God, not the people. God shows us these weaknesses in people and finances and everything and anything we do. In ourselves. Why? So hopefully we can move towards depending on him and realizing, God, I can't do this without you. My friends, we need to have the right mindset. I want you to know that Moses and Paul are these individuals that God used in a great way, but also understand that God often empties people of self-confidence before he fills them up with spiritual power. If you're full of confidence, I'm not saying that's bad, but you're almost treading a thin line between confidence, spiritual confidence, and arrogance, because you believe you can do it all. Spiritual confidence is the other one. It's when you empty yourself out of yourself, when you empty yourself from yourself, right? And you just allow God to work through you. Moses said, who am I? Moses said, I can't speak to Pharaoh. I'm not enough. What did God say? The I am. He provided, right, his brother to go. God said, hey, that's exactly where I need you, Moses. You're not enough. You're correct. You're insufficient. You're right. You're inadequate. Correct. You don't have the ability. Moses, that's exactly what I need. My friends, tonight we need to be another Moses. You and I need to understand that we're finally ready if we're going through this struggle. If things are not turning out the way they are, that's exactly where God needs you. You know, Paul prayed for that. What is that? That demon, amen? That thorn in the flesh, right? Paul prayed that it would leave him. But what did God say? My grace. Yeah. God chose to give sustaining grace. I don't know if that makes sense, but it blows my mind. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in what? In our weakness. In our, I can't do it, God. God's saying, you're finally ready. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, this is Paul, that the power of Christ may what? Rest upon me. The world has an advantage. It has knowledge. It has the institutions behind it. It has the entertainment industry behind it. It has a lot of things behind it. But it doesn't have God. You and I, we have God as believers. As children of God, we have God Almighty that we can depend on. Exodus chapter 4. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, O my Lord, I am not what? Eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow what? Tongue. What's the next verse, brother? Think Philippians? Yeah. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made what? Who hath made man's mouth? Didn't know this connected with Moses, huh? Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf? Now, this is not talking about intellectually, okay? The dumb or the deaf, or the seeing or the blind. Have not the Lord? Do we have another one? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy what? and teach thee what thou shalt what? Next one. I can do all things through who? Which what? Strengtheneth me. Now, here's the truth. The key there in anything we face in life, temptation, tribulation, it comes down to this. It's through Christ. That's it. That's key. If there was a sermon that I would preach, I guess, is that's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. With a high-pitched voice. That's it. That's all it takes. Christ. That's it. You want your marriage to succeed? That's it. You want your children to, you know, serve God and be raised up, right? It takes Christ. That's it. That's it. You want to lead a church the right way? That's it. It takes Christ. You follow me? You want your finances to be secured? It takes Christ. That's it. You have to rest not on the money or the dollars. You need to rest on what? Christ. Dependence on Christ. That's it. I don't know where that came from, but I mean, that's it. See, God is not looking for perfect vessels. I'm telling you, he's looking for people that are surrendered, surrendered vessels. I want you to know that your weakness does not disqualify you, Moses. Your weakness does not disqualify you, David, Paul, Joseph. See, we think it does, but God's not surprised by our weakness. Amen? It doesn't cancel your usefulness to God. Sometimes God allows you to reach the end of yourself so you can finally discover the sufficiency of him. I can depend on my God. Yes, you have to come to the end of you. You have to become the person that says, Zeke, who are you? Get over yourself. And that'll open a lot. It'll liberate a lot. Who are you? Get over yourself. Oh, I'm embarrassed, God. I don't know if I'm going to say the word. So what? Get over yourself. The I am is sufficient. Yeah, you're not able to preach, but the I am is. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm not able to be a husband to my best friend and a lovely wife. Of course I'm not. But the I am is able to. I'm not able to be the father or godly father that my children need me to be. Of course I'm not. I don't have the, I don't know what you call it, the, what do you call it, the requirements, I guess. I don't know, or the, what do you call it? Can't think about it. I don't have those things. The experience, not the experience, but the qualifications, thank you. I don't have the qualifications. Thank you, Ms. Shante. I don't have the qualifications. But God says he does. The I am does. See, the church is like this. We sometimes think, oh, well, God, why isn't our, I don't know if you don't, but I do sometimes, you know, I get petty, you know, and I'm in my pity party feeling sorry for myself. God, why are you not growing our Thursday night, right? Because I'm just human, amen? I'm immature, remember? I told y'all. But it's like this. I'm looking at the wrong thing, and I'm looking at it in a negative perspective. Instead of being happy with the people that we do have that rearrange these hymn books over and over again and give me a job, amen, to do every time before church starts, amen? Praise the Lord for that. Instead of being happy for the people that God does bring here, amen, I get upset about the hymn books not being in the proper places, amen? And it does something to my OCD, whatever you call that. This is how it's supposed to be. When you look at a crutch, you look at a crutch by itself and you're like, okay, it's just what? It's just an item, it's nothing. But when you see someone who cannot walk, depend, put their weight, trust on that crutch, now it becomes what? Now it functions. Now there's purpose, right? Can I tell you something? Instead of being negative and looking at the negative outlook on everything, look at the usefulness and the function of it all. There's a purpose for everything. And here's what you and I need to understand when we look at that, and we look at it right, without the crutch, that person that cannot walk would not be able to walk. Amen? You have to understand that weakness is dangerous if we look at it and don't do anything about it. But weakness, when we look at it and we embrace it and say, man, this is driving me to go to God a little bit more. This weakness is driving me to get into my Bible a little bit more. This weakness is driving me to go on my knees and pray a little bit more for my God. Then it becomes a blessing. My friends, it's just depending on how you see it. God has made you for a purpose. I want you to understand, he's not breaking you. He's building you. Amen? Amen, Pastor. Amen. Praise the Lord. Third point, and I'm almost done. Amen? I'm like Brother Benjamin. Man, I just, boom, 1, 2, 3 points, and then we're out. Amen? No, I'm joking. God uses wilderness, or the wilderness, to build faith. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be what? They shall walk and not what? Faint. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all what? When ye fall. Are you going to fall? Yes or no? Count it a joy. Into diverse, different, a variety, diversity, all right? Into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the what? The trying, the testing of your what? Some of you are not testing that faith. Some of you are just grumpy. Some of you are just okay and soaking and sulking. Stop. The trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. But let patience, let her, stop being negative, let patience have her what? Perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting what? That you may mature, that you may learn about life. Stop looking at everything so negative, in a negative light. Romans chapter 4, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to who? And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to what? Perform. Do not despise the seasons when nothing seems to be happening. God does some of his deepest work in the hidden places, in the quiet seasons, in the lonely valleys. How about this? In the waiting rooms of your heart. Some of you are still waiting. Hey, stay busy working. What are you talking about? Stop waiting. You know what waiting is? My father-in-law taught me this. He goes, you know what waiting is, Zeke? Because he liked that verse in Isaiah about the eagle there. He goes, waiting is not just sitting around doing nothing. When you go to a restaurant, who are the people that serve you? I'm like, oh, waiters and waitresses. He's like, yeah. What are they doing? Just sitting around? Looking at you while you're drinking your drink? Are they just sitting around looking at you while you're eating your food off the plate? Is that what they're doing? I said, oh, no. He's like, exactly. What are they doing? I'm like, oh, they're serving me. He's like, yeah. Stay busy serving God. That's what wait means. It doesn't mean be lazy. God never blessed laziness. Amen? I'm like, man, that's a good truth. Yes. In your waiting rooms of life right now, some of you just waiting, doing nothing. Don't do that. Don't quit. Don't be a quitter. Man, I remember many times that I would go to my home church and also the other churches I served in. And I would see people come to church on fire. But man, one little thing didn't go right or didn't go their way. Guess what? It's like that fire got extinguished. That's the wrong fire. That's called strange fire. That's not the right fire. That fire that ignites is called the Holy Spirit, my friend. See, we're not here to please people. And what you're going to realize is the more you go to church and the more you continue growing in church, you're going to find out a lot of things you don't like about the pastor. You're going to find out a lot of things you don't like about the pastor's family. You're going to find out a lot of things you don't like about the church. Don't come to church to get your feelings, you know, massaged. Don't come to church to get your feelings or your ego altered, or come to church to please God. Amen? I promise you, your fire won't burn out. I promise you. But, of course, anybody can find the negative. Amen? Amen. I want us to understand that God helps us. Our faith grows strongest when we trust in God without visible evidence. I don't have to see it, man. God said it. It's a done deal. Take it to the bank. That's it. I don't have to look at, well, what's happening? You say, well, Pastor, you just said that. I know, but I'm trying to tell you, I don't have to do that. It's that mature part. It's getting rid of these negative things. It's getting rid of this immaturity. We're supposed to grow spiritually. But I want you to understand that it's in our human nature, our sinful nature, to be immature, to view things in a negative way. Instead of looking at, man, God, thank you for allowing us to go through this season. God, thank you that I'm growing more in my Bible reading time than ever before. God, thank you that I'm able to find another avenue to be able to reach the community through this. Thank you, Lord, that my marriage with my wife is growing and it's better. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God, that you still have me here. Amen. Thank you for everything you've allowed us to have. Folks, I need you to understand, we need to mature. We need to go closer to God and be dependent on God. But also understand this, it's to help build our faith. Stop living by sight. It's not getting better. I don't know how we're going to do this. Stop. Start trusting in who? God. It takes faith. Maybe tonight the fire's been hot for some of you. The waiting has been long for some of you. Maybe the burden now is too heavy for some of you. The question, maybe it became many questions that you're having now about, am I doing God's will for my life? But can I tell you this, and I hope you hear me clearly, what I'm about to say, God has not forgotten about you. He hasn't. You might feel that way, but he hasn't. Stop believing in the sight. Start looking at the invisible. Start believing in the faith. You say, Pastor, well, you're not living the life that I'm living. And praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love the life that I have. What I'm trying to tell you is, Joseph had a prison, right? Before he went to the palace. Amen. Understand that Joseph's prison eventually ended. Moses, even though he didn't walk in the promised land, was successful to bring the people up to the promised land. Eventually, wilderness ended for him. David, eventually, he was running away. He was being persecuted by Saul, the king, the anointed one. But David knew also he would be the next anointed one. Guess what? Eventually, he became the what? The king. That cave season of persecution eventually ended. God hasn't forgotten about you, my friends. Here's the problem with all of us, because we're immature. We've forgotten about God. We've forgotten about his promises. We've forgotten about his word. We've forgotten about the fact that we have communication with God Almighty. That's what's happened. We've forgotten God, who he is, how he's blessed us, what he's done in our lives. I want you to know this. You might be going through a hard time right now, and you might say, God, just remove this from my life. I'm going to tell you, if God were to remove what happened to me in my life, yeah, it was hurtful and traumatic, but he would have removed the very thing that has developed Ezekiel Rivera, the pastor of Victory Baptist Church. He would have removed the very thing that has made Ezekiel Rivera, the husband to Rebecca Lynn Owens. Love you. If he would have removed that part of my life, that tribulation, that pain, he would have removed the very thing that just wakes me up every morning, wakes me up every day. That father that I want to be able to enjoy my children, that connection that I never had. My friends, you're trying to ask God to remove the very thing that you need to succeed. Don't do that. Bow your head, close your eyes. Stop asking God, why am I going through this? And begin asking God, where are you, God?